Amen. Good to be saved, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate you being with us in the house of God tonight. I do have a confession to make before I get started tonight. I appreciate Brother Mark. He calls you out of the blue or texts you out of the blue, and that's what he done to me this week. And I appreciate him doing that. Amen. It's a blessing to me. And our heart has been heavy this week, and God knows everything's going on with us, and it's really been heavy. And when Mark texts me, I text him back, and I said, Brother Mark, I just don't have anything on my heart I'd like to share. I sent it, and I don't text much. It takes me about 5 minutes to text 4 words. But when I sent that, as soon as I hit that button, God spoke to my heart, and he said, now, Kenny, what did I call you to do? He said, this is what I want you to preach. And I got back on that thing, and I was trying to catch up, you know. And I said, preacher, I will preach. I will preach. Sometimes, you know, the devil wants to overload us with other things that try to hinder and hurt us, and we get all downtrodden and overloaded, and we say, well, we just can't do it. I'll tell you something. When you let God speak to your heart, you can do it. Amen. Now, I may fall flat on my face tonight, but that's all right. I'm still going to mind God and do what God would have me to do tonight. And I hope and pray that it'll be a blessing to you and a help to you as we look into the Word of God tonight. This is exactly what God laid on my heart about 10 seconds after I texted Brother Mark back and told him what I told him. And then God began to touch me and help me as I began to read and look through this Word of God. And there's so much in this little book that I'm going to look at tonight. There's no way that we can get it all done. In a week's time, you couldn't get it all said tonight, but I do want to share with you that God has laid upon our heart tonight. In the little book of Ruth in the Old Testament, if you find Judges there, it's just right past Judges in the Word of God. If you have a Scofield Reference Bible, it'll be on page 316 in the Word of God. Judges chapter number 2, going to read one verse, and then I'm going to try to preach that God has laid upon my heart, and I assure you that I'll be everywhere in the book of Ruth. But we just want you to pray for us tonight, and I pray that God will take this message and plant it in the hearts and lives of you that are here tonight that need this, and I know that you need it because God burdened my heart with it. Amen. And that's why I'm here tonight trying to share with you the Word of God. If you stand with me, please, verse number 8 of chapter number 2 in God's Word. The Bible said, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. May God add his blessing to the reading of God's Word tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Mark if he would. Pastor Mark, if he would lead us the Lord in prayer, please. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mark. And just by way of introduction tonight, I want to tell you a little bit about the book of Ruth and how all this became about. You'll find there in chapter number 1 that the Bible said that there was a famine in the land. And certain of them, Ruth and her husband, Elimelech, and their two sons, they begin to go down there to Moab, and because of the famine that was in the land there at that time. And you know, today, children, sometimes every one of us have hardships and difficulties that comes in our life. And we look around and say, well, God, where are you at? I can't feel you. I can't see you. I just, where are you at in my heart, in my life? And sometimes we got to go down to a place, my friend, get down there that we think that's where we need to go. And I believe that's what Amalek did there in the Word of God. He looked at his family and he said, I've got to take my wife and my children down there to Moab because there's a famine in the land. And the Bible said that they went down there to sojourn in the land of Moab. Now that word sojourn, my friend, simply means that they hadn't planned on staying very long down there in Moab. And youngest, today the devil, he likes to come in at you and I today and take us down there to Moab and say, now you're not going to stay here but just a little while. But youngest, sometimes we find ourselves staying there longer than we would like to in our life. And that's exactly what happened here to Elimelech and Naomi, and those two sons that went down with them. They stayed there, my friend, too long. you'll find that the Bible said that Amalek's name, this is very, very intriguing to me as I begin to look at these names today. I've told a lot of folk today that what my name means. I'm not going to tell you what my name means, but you can ask my wife after a while, and she'll tell you what my name means. But all the Bible, these names in the Word of God, they are named and have a meaning for a reason and a purpose. We find that Amalek's name means my God is king. Now here we find a man, Amalek, that his name says my God is king. Now if we really took that to heart, we would say, Amalek, what are you doing down there in Moab? What are you doing down there? We are a family in Moab, my friend, just because there's a famine up here in the land. My friend Moab, he went down there. He said, I'm just going to go for a little while, just sojourn down there with my family and try to get some food to take care of my family. But the Bible said that he stayed down there. After a little while, he died, and his sons and his wife stayed down there almost 10 years in the Moab. My friend, and we find that his wife's name, Naomi, means pleasant. She was very pleasant. She was someone that had a very nice demeanor about her. And my friend, God gave her the name Pleasant. Her two sons was named Sick and Pining. Now, wouldn't that be a name to have? My friend, as Noah, Naomi raised those two boys up, and knowing that their names were Sick and Pining, my friend, all the time they were pining and they were sick. But my friend, Naomi raised those children the very best that she possibly could. We find in the Word of God that in chapter number 1, after my friend, that the husband had died, that the two sons took upon them a wife apiece. My friend, one of those wives that one of those sons married was named Ruth. My friend, Ruth was what God was working at and getting those things taken care of that he needed to take care of, my friend, in that situation. We find that after a while that the two sons died and my friend left Naomi and the two daughter-in-laws. When Naomi, she looked back in verse number 6 of chapter number 1, the Bible said, and when she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that how that the Lord had visited the people in giving them bread. My friend, she heard while she's down there in Moab how God was blessing back up there, and my friend in Judah, and my friend, and feeding the children that stayed there and went through the famine there in the land. And she said to herself, you know, I'm going to go back up there. I'm going back up to my home there in Bethlehem, Judah. And there I'm going to see what's going on, because there's bread up there in Bethlehem, Judah. And so she got their two daughter-in-laws and said, now listen, girls. He said, y'all go back to your families. They were from Moab. He said, you go back to your families there and you stay with them. My friend, one of them turned and said, Naomi, I'm going to go back. The other one, named Ruth, said, no, sir, I'm not going back. She said in verse number 16, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. Hey, man, look, I'm going to tell you something, young'uns. My friend, whenever you get a touch of God in your heart and your life, you'll find out, say, Lord, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Amen, my friend. That's what Ruth, I've seen something in Naomi that she had never seen before. My friend, she said, Naomi, wherever you go, I'm going to go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Wherever you at, that's where I'm going to be at. And she said, thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. My friend, I'm here to tell you that right now, even in hardships of life, even down there in Moab, my friend, God's the same God. My friend, today, tomorrow, and yesterday, he's still the same. My friend, he'll be with us no matter what difficulty we face, no matter what hardships comes in our life. God said, I'll be with you. My friend, the Bible said there that Ruth went on with Naomi. My friend, there has she lived with Naomi. Now listen, When they got back there to the land, my friend, there that they were come out of, my friend, they got back there, they started setting up housekeeping, and they were together and living together. My friend, listen to chapter number 2. Of that chapter, verse number 1, the Bible says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. I want to tell you something right now, and others, I get excited when I start studying and looking about a kinsman redeemer. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, youngins, there's a kinsman redeemer come on the scene at my life one time. My friend, I couldn't, my sin debt was so big, I couldn't pay for it. My friend, it was so dirty, I couldn't clean it up. But my friend, I had a kinsman redeemer that was able to take care of everything in my life. His name was Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Amen. My friend, that gets me excited when that's another message. That's not what I'm preaching tonight. But my friend, I want to tell you what's the truth. That gets me excited today. The Bible said, Naomi said his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And then she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to lie on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. Now, my friend, listen to me. Everything that happens to you and I today is not happened by mistake. My friend, God has a purpose and a reason for everything happening in your life and my life today. And my friend, we find that Ruth went there to that field of Boaz. My friend, she went under the leadership and guidance of God Almighty. It just didn't happen that she fell on that place. My friend, God had everything lined up and set in order for her to do what she was like, were to do there in the Word of God. The Bible said, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. My friend, we find that Boaz come from the land of bread and praise. Amen. My friend there in Bethlehem, he come down out of the land of bread and praise. My friend, he'd been up there with God, no doubt. My friend, he realized how the blessing was, my friend, in this life. And I'm going to tell you something about Boaz. My friend, he loved the people that worked for him.
Amen.
The Bible said there in the Word of God in that scripture, and he said unto, them, the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. My friend, Boaz give respect to those that are working for him. My friend, out there in the field. He was that kind of man. My friend, that's the kind of man I like. Amen. Somebody that has respect for those that are under him. My friend, those that are working for him today. The Bible said in verse number 5, then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, this is a Moabish daughter that came with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And he said, I pray thee, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from morning unto now, that she tarried yet a little while. And verse number 8, the Bible said, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. My friend, I want to share with you tonight, I press a message tonight about staying in your own field. Amen. My friend, I'll tell you what today, we need to find out as Christian people today, just where our field is at. My friend, God's got a field for you out there somewhere, and you need to get in that field and stay in that field until God moves you out of that field today. My friend, he told Ruth, said, Ruth, I want you to stay in this field. My friend, listen, there's some things I want to share with you about three things this evening. My friend, about staying in your field. My friend, listen, I want to tell you something today that this pulpit and this place of opposition that up here is for this man right here. My friend, it's not for anybody else, my friend, but it's for this man right here. If he desires to get somebody to come in and preach for him, that is his responsibility. And my friend, I want to tell you something today. If there's any preaching to be done, it's through this man of God. My friend, we need to find our field and get in it. Amen. My friend, we'll stay in our field and do what God wants us to do there in that field today. My friend, to stay in that field, how you got to be willing to serve. In verses 1 through 3, my friend, you'll find that it's not just any old field. My friend, but it's the field that God will lead you to. My friend, listen to me today. There's a lot of folks say, well, preacher, I'd do this or I'd do that if I just had the opportunity to do. Young's, I'm going to tell you something tonight. Whatever field you need to get into, how you need to get in there and do it. Amen. Let God lead you and guide you and direct you to the field that you need to be. And when you get to that field, you do it the very best that you possibly can. Shirley and I was in the supermarket up here last weekend. You know, I thank God that He's opened doors for me, and I've got appointments in the future, and I thank God for that. But you know what? I preached on the radio the other Sunday morning. That's the second time I ever preached on the radio. I stand there preaching to that little old knob, a radio knob. There's another preacher sitting to my left over here. He is amening, and there's the man doing the PA system back there, and he started cutting them buttons down. My friend, because I was getting a little bit out of the way. Amen. He started cutting them buttons down a little bit. But you know what? I stood there and I preached just as hard and through that microphone as I do when I'm standing before a congregation today. Youngs, listen to me today. I want to tell you something. God has got a field for you to get into.
Yes.
I need to get in that field and do it.
That's good. Amen.
Shirley and I, as I said, was up at food line. We stand there checking out, and I was in front of Shirley. Shirley was paying, and I was putting the groceries in the cart. And there's a lady that come up behind about two back, and when she had one of them little buggies, you know, that you use when you're just going to get a few things. She come up through there and she stopped, and I looked at her, and she was going through the prices of her food, and I could see her adding them up in her head. You know, she'd look at this, say, this is $5, and next one would be $5, and what she was doing, she was making sure that she had enough money to pay for what she was going to get. You know what God told me to do? He said, you go back here and talk to that lady and you give her whatever she needs in that buggy. You give it to her. I was standing in the front and I started and I took one step around like that, going around the other aisle, going down there to her, and she pulled out and went down, walking back down through the aisle, the supermarket, and I said to myself, well, I'm not going to embarrass her. Before we got out of that supermarket, God done spoke to my heart. And I looked at Shirley and I said, Shirley, if I had enough money, I'd stand up here all day long. And those folks that come through this line, like that young lady did, I'd run up to her and I said, you go back and get whatever you want. The Lord's going to take care of that for you. My friend, I want to tell you something. I don't know where God wants me to. I know God wants me right here at Calvary.
Bless him, Lord.
But what God wants me to do, youngs, I want Him to take me and use me. I'm asking God to open doors for me, and He's been opening doors, and I thank God for that. But youngs, listen, there's so much to do in this world today. There's so many fields out there that you and I can do.
Amen.
And my friend, we can be a blessing and a help to somebody.
Yes, sir.
If we'd only do it. If you've never done anything like that, you ought to try it one time. What a blessing that will be. I have gotten so many opportunities to do things like that. And I said, God, thank you for allowing me to do those little things, little small things. There's a little girl. Her mama was in front of me up there at the dollar store. And the little girl wanted a little toy. Her mama said, listen, called her name, said, I can't get that for you. I just don't have enough money to get that for you. That little girl started crying. She finally quit crying. I looked at that mother and I said, ma'am, do you mind if I give your daughter a little piece of money, let her take it and get her something wherever she wants to go? She said, no, sir. I give her a little piece of money. And I said, you take this and you go wherever you want to go and you get whatever you want to get. I want to tell you something, children. I'm not telling you this to build Kenny Anderson up.
Come on, brother.
I'm telling you this, that there's a field out there that you need to get into. My friend, there's opportunity after opportunity that comes in your life and my life. And my friend, we need to try our best to take that step and do it by the grace and by the power of God. Let God help us and let God take us. And we might serve out there in that field today. And my friend, that field that you serve in is just not any old field. But my friend, it's a field that God wants you to lead you to and God to put you in. And my friend, you've got to be led by God Almighty to that field in order to do the work that God wants you to do in that field today. If you do it just because that I told you to do it, it ain't going to mount a hill of beans to you. But my friend, you do it because God laid your heart upon your heart to do it. You talking about a blessing.
Amen.
Amen. God will bless your heart and He'll bless your life today. My friend, we find that there has to be a willing to serve. There's got to be, you got to have open eyes and open mind and look around and see what God wants you to do. Everywhere I go, I ask God, I said, Lord, you show me how I can be a blessing to somebody today.
That's good.
I wished I could have got to that young lady. I could have run her down, but I didn't want to embarrass her. But I want you to know this, children. There's fields out there that we're overlooking.
Yes, sir.
There's places out there that God is leading you to, my friend, for you to be a blessing in. And God wants us to do that today. My friend, you got to have a willingness to serve and stay in your own field. My friend, then in verses 4 through 14, my friend, you got to be willing to submit. You got to be willing to submit yourself, my friend, to God and allow God, my friend, to be God in your heart and your life today. Boaz, my friend, is a type of the Savior today.
Right.
We find that we've got to submit under God, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, and say, God, what do you want me to do?
Right.
What field do you want me to go into? What field do you want me to go out and glean? Lord, you show me what you want me to do. Every time I leave the house, I say, Lord God, you help me today. Keep my eyes open. Keep my heart open. Lord God, let somebody cross my path that I could be an encouragement to. Hey man, if there's anything I ever be in my life, my friend, I want to be an encourager today. I want to encourage you to serve God, live for God, love Him, my friend, and stay in your own field. A lot of folks want to mess another about somebody else's field. Nobody can work your field but you.
Right.
Nobody knows how but you. Because you're in God's will in that field. My friend, we need to stay in our field. Amen. My friend, listen. You got to be willing to submit yourself, my friend, to the Savior. My friend, we find that Boaz come back from the house of bread and praise. My friend, he'd been up there praising God. He'd been up there eating the goodness of God. He come down through there. He didn't bring a whip down there and start whipping those men there over the reapers. No, sir. He said, boys, how you doing? And they said, Lord, God be with you also, Boaz. My friend, that's the type of individual that you and I need to be today. What a blessing we could be, my friend, for those that work over us. I don't know where you work at. I don't know a thing about you, my friend, your workplace. But what a blessing God could use you.
Yes, sir.
My friend, if you just be a little bit more kind. Brother Mark talked about smiling and being more kind. My friend, listen, I'm telling you something today. There is nothing like getting alone with God. My friend, and letting God touch your heart and touch your life. And my friend, and then you get up and walk out that door and God gives you somebody even before you get out of the driveway. God shows you somebody that you can be a blessing to. And you just walk across the street and do what needs to be done. Somebody comes by and said, did you do this? I said, well, God done everything. I said, he done everything. Your neighbor up here said you done it. I said, well, God done it. Youngest, we can be a blessing no matter where we're at.
Yes,
we've got to have a willing to serve, a willing to submit. My friend, and realize today that Boaz invites her to stay in verse number 8. He said there in that scripture, he said, then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not my daughter? In other words, you listen to me. That's what Boaz was saying. Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. My friend Boaz said, listen, Ruth, I don't want you to go nowhere else. You stay right here in this field. And you glean this corn. You glean this in this field. I don't want you to go nowhere else. You know what, what Boaz was telling Ruth? He said, stay in your own field. Stay in the field. Stay in the right field that God has placed you in today. My friend, the Bible said, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and sow thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. My friend, not only do we find, my friend, we got to be willing to submit. My friend Boaz invites her to stay, but he tells her, said, don't let your eyes wander away. My friend, a lot of times we get so complacent that we let our eyes go to wandering, my friend, out yonder, and get away from what God really wants us to do in this walk of life today.
Amen.
My friend, listen to me. Boaz is telling her, said, don't let your eyes wander. My friend, get your eyes on fixed on what God wants you to do. And listen, you let God, my friend, move. Let God take care of you today. The Bible said it, talking about the young men. He said the young men will provide for her. You know who provides for you and I today? That's the third person of the Godhead.
Amen.
You know what that is? That is the Holy Ghost of God.
Amen.
Are you afraid of the Holy Ghost of God? Youngs, I'm not afraid of him. Amen. He comes up beside of me and he rubs me up one side and down the other.
Amen.
And he gets me to, juice start running out of my eyes. And my friend, after a while, I go to shouting and I run through my house.
Amen.
My friend, because of that man called the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
My friend, he said that Holy Spirit was going to take care of you just as these young men will supply your every need. He said this Holy Spirit is going to be your protection. My friend, they're going to watch over you and see that nobody hurts you. That's what Boaz said to these men.
Amen.
These young men said, you take care of Ruth. You protect her. Not only did he say you would provide for her or protect her, but he said you would provide for her also. Youngs, I'm telling you today, preacher, I can't do that. I can't witness. I just can't do some things. And youngs, listen, like my mama always said, can't never could do nothing.
That's right.
My friend, if we would just give the Holy Spirit right away in our life, you'd be amazed what God could do in your heart and your life today. My friend, we find that these young men had responsibility, my friend, to protect and provide, my friend, for Ruth. Then we find in verses 10 and 13 of that same scripture there, the Bible said, then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? You know what Ruth was? My friend, she was thankful for what God had done in her life. She fell on her face and said, "Lord, Boaz, I want to tell you that I'm a stranger, and you took knowledge of me." And Boaz answered and said unto her, "It had fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left the father, thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art coming to a people which thou knewest not hitherto." My friend, the Boaz said, "Listen, I know all about you, Ruth. I know where you come from. I know how you got here. I know why you're here." He said, "I don't want you to leave this field. These men are going to protect you. They're going to provide for you. If you get hungry, you go up there and sit down and you eat. You get filled, my friend, and you gleam in this field and you stay in this field." My friend, we need to realize today that we need to get in the right field and stay in that field. The Bible says there in verse number 12, And the Lord recompensed thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wing thou art come to trust. My friend, do you want a full reward today? I want to tell you something, children. Every one of us that are born again by God's amazing grace, every day we live, if we do what God would have us to do, my friend, in that day, God's going to give us a full reward. My friend, you're going to go home at night and you're going to peel your head at night, my friend, and then God's going to come to you and, my friend, let you know that He is going to give you a full reward for the things that you do in this walk of life today. My friend, what a blessing it is to be a help to somebody else. What a blessing it is to be an encourager to somebody that's discouraged. Amen. Have you ever seen anybody that's really discouraged? Shirley and I have been bombarded this week, and that phone call after phone call after phone call, discouragement. People that are having hardship. Yes, sir. You know what we told them? God is a great big God.
Amen.
God will take care of these things. God will intervene. He'll take care of them. Just stay in there for God. You love Him. You serve Him. And you obey Him.
Amen.
He'll take care of everything else in your life today. The next morning, I got a phone call about 10 o'clock. On the other end was a lady. Broken. Her spirit was broken. You could barely hear her talk. But this is what she said: "Kenny, it's not as bad as we thought." Oh, praise God. "It's not as bad as we thought. Young ones, it's not as bad as you think. When things become in our life and we're bombarded with these things in our life, sometimes it's not as bad as you think."
Amen.
And listen, if you look on beyond this veil of life, if it is bad, it's still not as bad as you think.
Amen.
Because if you're saved by the grace of God, we're going home to a place called heaven.
Amen.
Where the street is paved with gold, with transparent glass.
Amen.
My friend, the throne of God is there. My friend, Jesus Christ, the light of that city,
Amen,
is there. That's where you and I are going. My friend, there'll be no death, no sickness, no cancer, no heart attacks. My friend, nothing like that will be in that place where you and I are going that are saved by God's amazing
Amen.
Grace. Why not stay in your field?
Amen.
Praise God. Why not stay in your field? Have a willingness to serve. A willingness to submit, my friend, unto God. You'll also find in those scriptures that I've already read to you that Boaz, my friend, he knows all.
Yes, sir.
Knows all. I want to tell you something tonight, children. My God knows everything.
Yes,
He knows what you done this morning.
Come on.
He knows what you done an hour before you come here.
Right.
He knows that you's going to be here tonight.
Amen.
He knew that I was going to preach this message tonight. He knew that this message was going to go out and touch somebody's heart tonight. My friend, He knows what we're going to do tomorrow. He knows everything about us today. Just like Boaz knew everything about Ruth, God knows everything about you and I today.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And my friend, if we have an opportunity to do something good for somebody, don't fail. And listen, don't, you know, I,
bless you, Lord.
I've heard men, preachers, come up to me and they'll say, "You know, preacher, I'm fasting today." I look at that man and I say, "My goodness, don't tell me about your fasting. That's between you and God."
That's right.
"My friend, I don't need to know about your fasting. If you telling me you're fasting, that means you're just knocking God out of picture." My friend, if God burdens your heart to fast over somebody that's lost or whatever it is in your life, you need to fast and not say nothing about it. That's between you and God. My friend, God knows what He's doing. He knows everything. And my friend, we need to realize that today. "Preacher, have you ever fasted?" "I have never fasted. Never have I fasted. But I've really trusted God." "Do I know preachers that fast and mean it?" "Yes, I do. I know one especially that'll fast, and you'll never know that man's fasting until God begins to bless on what he's been fasting about. But then God does the work and gets the job done. Now, I'm not telling you to fast. That's between you and God. My friend, don't you get up there and go out here and say, "Kenny Anderson wants me to fast." Youngs, I don't want you to do nothing but trust God. That's all I want you to do. Just trust God. Let him have his will and his way in your heart and your life. Amen. Listen. Boaz is also, in verse number 14, a type of supplier. Listen. "And Boaz said unto her, 'At mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in vinegar.' And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her a parched corn. And she did eat and was sufficed and lived." My friend, I'm telling you today, God is a type of supplier in our heart and our life today. He'll take care of us today. Listen, we might be praying about an automobile and God sends a bicycle by. He's provided for you. Get on that bicycle and go for God. My friend, that's the way I look at things. God supplies me what I need. I don't have all my wants, my friend, but God gives me what I need.
Amen.
I take what God gives me and I go with it. Amen. I just let God be God in my heart and my life. My friend, let Him take care of everything in my life today. Listen, you got to be willing to serve. You got to be willing to submit. And you got to be willing to receive. My friend, in verse number 15, the Bible says, "And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, 'Let her gleam even among the sheaves, and reproach her not.'" My friend, we find that she was willing to receive what God was willing to give. My friend, Boaz told him, said, "I want you to go ahead and let her gleam among the sheaves. And you just don't say nothing about what she gets. You just go ahead and let her get what she can get." And I want you to look in verse number 16. The Bible said, And let fall also much some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not." My friend, you know something? What today, children? Sometimes God gives us handfuls on purpose. Handfuls of blessings. Handfuls of encouragement. Handfuls of grace. Handfuls of mercy. My friend, God does that just because He wants to today. We give gifts to our children. We give things to our children. God says, "I'm going to give you some things on purpose." He told the reaper, said, "Now you drop some, my friend, on purpose." I'm telling you what's the truth, children. God has dropped some blessings on me on purpose. And I give Him the glory and the honor and the praise for it all. He's a loving God. He's a God that wants me to stay in my field. And young as I'm staying in my field, I'm doing what God wants me to do. Every door is open. I'll say, "Yes, sir, I'll do that. I'll be there. I'll preach. I don't care what time it was. It's 7 o'clock. My friend, Sunday morning had to be there at 15 minutes till 7. That's no problem with me. 5:30, I'm out of the bed every morning. No matter where it's Monday or Sunday, I'm out of the bed. My friend, when there's a field out there, that door's open. God says, I'm going to give you something that you need. And my friend, He gives it to us today. Not only that we need, but He gives us a little bit just on purpose.
Thank you, Lord.
Hey, man, hands full on purpose. Just because He loves us. Just because He cares about us. God comes by and slips you something on purpose. My father-in-law is in heaven today. Before he got saved, he was a drunkard. Played poker all night. Drunk all night. Him, close to 60 years old, getting fights. Come home, beat all to pieces. I started praying for him. God saved his soul. Not because I prayed for him, but God saved his soul. We got the phone call on a Saturday night after we got back from church. On the other end was Claude, and he said, I just want to tell you, Kenny, I give my heart to the Lord.
Amen.
He and I got together the next day, and he began to tell me how God saved him. He said, now, God didn't save me last Saturday night after revival meeting. He said, I'm going to tell you when God saved me. I said, Claude, when did He save you? He said, you see the garden down there, and I know all about the garden. I was in that garden with him. He said, you know that garden down there? I said, yes, I do. He said, I was down there in that garden. He said, God come on me so strong that I could not get out of that garden. He said, I was weeping and crying. He said, I just fell down on my face in that garden and asked God to save my soul.
Amen.
My friend, you know what he done that night that God saved him? He come back to the meat house and got the liquor out of the meat house and poured it out. He went to the refrigerator and got the beer out of the refrigerator and poured it down the sink. My friend, and never touched another drop after that. God called him home. I was honored to stand and preach my father-in-law's funeral. I'm telling you, children, God gives you some handfuls on purpose once in a while. That'll help you get through the hard times. That'll help you get through the difficult times of our life today. Thank God for the handfuls on purpose. Well, I got up this evening and I took about two steps and God said, and spoke to my heart. He said, Kitty, how about them handfuls on purpose that I give you?
You,
I got my phone up and I went to doing it. I said, preacher, I will preach. I will preach. God gives us handfuls on purpose, my friend, to help us make it through this life today. My friend, you've got to be willing to receive. Willing to receive, my friend, instruction from the Word of God. That's why we've got Pastor Mark. He instructs us through the Word of God. That we may be better Christians, to live closer to Him and walk with Him. Sometimes we've got to receive correction. Now, correction is not very, very good, is it? I mean, it hurts once in a while, don't it? When God lays you flat on your back and there's nowhere to go, nothing to think about but what's going on in your life and God in heaven's above you looking down on you and you're looking up to God and said, Lord God, would you take care of this thing that's going on in my life today? My friend, God can give us some good correction in our life. My friend, He can speak to our heart and speak to our life. My friend, I want to tell you something. Correction is good. I had a lot of correction when I was growing up as a little boy. My mama was a disciplinarian in our home, and she corrected us boys. You can ask any of my brothers that's sitting here today. My friend, mama didn't paddle you and put you in a corner and say, there's time out. Buddy, she made you go out there at the hedge and get a limb and bring that limb back in and wire that limb out on your legs. Stripe your legs and the blood would run out. My friend, that's correction that my mama gave us boys. I think we turned out pretty doggone good. Amen. My friend, listen to me today. We've got to have correction,
yes, sir,
in our life. We've got to be willing to receive correction. And my friend, we've got to also be willing to see, receive something else. And that's salvation.
Yes, sir.
By grace.
Yes, sir.
My friend, there's something about this grace that's beyond understanding. This grace that God gives, my friend, is simply God's remedy at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. God's remedy at Christ's expense. Jesus gave His life for you and I today. That's what grace is. My friend, He gave us grace. If we would have been deserving, my friend, we every one of us have been dead in hell today. But thank God for His grace. Oh, His mighty, wonderful grace that God has given us today, my friend, is so real. And Boaz knew this, and Boaz said, listen, I want you to stay in this field and receive the grace of God, my friend, today. My friend, listen, there's people sees a difference in our life after we have received the grace of God in our heart and our soul today. The Bible said there in verses 17 through 19, and so the Bible says, so she gleaned in the field until the evening and beat out that she hath gleaned, and it was about an ephron of barley. And she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought forth and gave it to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wouldest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, this man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. My friend, her mother-in-law seen the difference in Naomi's life when she went in there with that whole lap full, about a bushel or over a bushel of corn. She went in the house and said, I want you to look here, Naomi, what Boaz allowed me to get. My friend, I want to tell you something today. There's nothing like telling folk what Jesus has done for your heart and your life. Every one of us today been saved by grace through faith, but your experience is different from mine. Mine's different from yours. There's somebody out there in this world today that wants to hear my experience, and there's somebody out there today that wants to hear your experience about being saved by the grace of God. We all got a different situation about that today. But I want to tell you something. We're all saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. My friend, we've got to have this willing to receive and let people see a difference in our life. She saw the amount of grace. Naomi saw the amount of grace that was given there, my friend, to Naomi or to Ruth. She saw that amount of grace in her heart and in her life. My friend, she knew that Boaz was on a mission. Now listen to me. Chapter number 3, I'm not going to read all that, but you read down through chapter number 3, and you'll find that Ruth went one evening and laid at the feet of Boaz. And Boaz woke up and knew that there was somebody laying at his feet. And he said, who is this that's laying at my feet? Ruth said, it's me. I'm the one that you sent out there and let glean all the corn there among the sheaves. And she said, listen, Boaz, don't look on me, because I am a near kinsman. Now, Boaz knew all about the near near kinsman that was in their life. He knew all about that. He told Ruth, said, Ruth, get your apron ready. I'm going to give you some more barley. You take that back to the house. He poured her lap full of barley, and she went back to the house. You know what Boaz done? My friend, you read on in the Word of God, you'll find that Boaz went out there to the city. There was one man, one near kinsman before Boaz was. And he went out there and stood at the gate of that city, and he saw this man come by. He knew who he was. He said, "Come on in here and sit down with me just a minute." He said, "I've got something I need to ask you." And he came in there and sat down beside of him. And he got 10 more men there that were officers of that city and said, "I want you 10 men to come in and hear what was going to be said." Boaz told this man, said, "Listen, Naomi's come back. My friend from Moab said, you're the near kinsman to her. You've got to take her and her daughter-in-law, Ruth." And this man said, "I can't take her. I don't have the means to purchase and take care of the things that she needs to be taken care of." And Boaz said, "Well, I'll take her if you'll let me buy her. I'll take her." And my friend, the Bible said there in that chapter that he said, "You go ahead and take her." And you know what Boaz done? Brother Mark done it in the prayer room. Boaz went down there and got his shoe off, plucked that shoe off, handed it to that man and said, "This seals the deal." My friend, that's the way it was done back in the Bible day. My friend, they sealed a deal by plucking their shoe off and giving it to the other man. And my friend, Boaz went back and took Ruth as his wife. And my friend, there's something miraculous happened after that. Oh, praise God. This gets on me every time I think about it. My friend, the Bible says there in the Word of God that Ruth had a child. Had a man child. Guess what his name was? Naomi took that little man child and nursed it. The women of the city got around Naomi because they knew that Naomi didn't have no husband and was too old to get married and raise children. And my friend, that she now had a little grandson there in her arms. And they got around her and said, "Listen, we've got a name for this young man." Naomi said, "What's that name?" And she said, "Obed." She said, "We call him Obed." "Preacher, what does that mean?" I want to show you something in the Word of God. On down there in chapter 4 and verse number 21. The Bible said, "And Salome begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed." That word "begot" simply means fathered. "And Boaz and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David." You read over in Matthew chapter number 1, it gives you the lineage of this man called Jesus Christ. Amen. My friend, he is from the lineage of David, boy, King David. My friend, if it hadn't been for Naomi staying in the right field, my friend, it wouldn't have worked out like that in the Word of God.
You're right, preacher.
My friend, Jesus came on the scene. Young uns, there's so much in the Word of God that we simply overlook. And just read over it and go on. And I've done the same. I'm not a scholar in pronunciation. These big names of these men in the Word of God, I just go right over them. Don't even try to pronounce their name. Sometimes we miss what God wants us to see. Jesus Christ. Now don't get me wrong. Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Ghost of God and planted the seed in Mary's womb, and Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph. But Jesus is the Son of God. Don't get me wrong. But when you put all these things together, if Ruth had not got married to Naomi's son, and Naomi's husband and son had not a died, and they had not a come back to the land of bread and praise, and they had not went, she had not went out there in the field and gleaned corn in that field, and she had not met Boaz, and they had not had a child, That child, my friend, was right down in the very lineage of our Lord and Savior today. Far as lineages go, my friend, it all worked out to the glory of God. And Amen. Notice when we realize that today, everything fitly joins together Amen. In the Word of God. Boaz looked at Ruth and said, "Don't you get out of this field. Young'uns, stay in your field.
Amen.
You, if you ain't got a field, you pray God give you a field.
Amen.
My friend, whatever your field is, you stay in that field.
Amen.
You gleam in that field. You do whatever God wants you to do in that field. And my friend, I guarantee you one thing. God will come by and give you a handful on purpose.
Amen.
Just because He loves you and just because He cares about you. He'll give you something that'll help you.
Amen.
Just because He cares about you today.
Amen.
Sometimes we fail to give those handfuls of purpose in this life. It wouldn't hurt some of us. I'm meddling now. It wouldn't hurt some of us to give our wives a handful on purpose. It wouldn't hurt some of us to give our children a handful on purpose. Preacher, what are you talking about? You figure it out. Whatever that handful is that you can give, my friend, why not give it to them? You know what our children need today above everything in this world? What I think they need is encouragement. Encouragement. They need to be encouraged. The devil's out there trying to get every one of them. And we need to encourage them. You'll never let me preach again after tonight. This is the longest I've ever preached. Most time I'm short and sweet and get it over. But I want to tell you, children, God burdened my heart about this after I told Brother Mark what I told him in that text. God said, "No, Kenny, what about them handfuls on purpose I've been giving you?" I texted him back and said, "Preacher, I will preach. I will preach." Young'uns, God loves us today. He wants us to stay in our own field.
Amen.
He wants us to do our own work and do what God's laid on your heart to do.
Amen.
You can't do my job and I can't do your job.
Right.
But I want to tell you something today. God will give you a handful on purpose.
Amen.
Just because He loves you. And just because He cares about you today. And that grace... that grace is good.
Amen.
That grace that comes by us obeying God.
Amen.
And letting God be God in our heart and our life. God is good, children.
Amen.
Stay in your field. Stay in your field. Let God do a work that needs to be done. Brother Mark.